Hopefully we have all of the technology functioning today. So as I'm getting the streaming up and running, you can turn to Joshua chapter 9 in your Bibles. Joshua chapter 9. It's going to take me a second here to get this. Good morning to those of you that are online and to those of you on Zoom. It's wonderful to have you with us. We're in Joshua chapter 9. Now it came about when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country. Oh, and please stand if you would as we're reading it. Thank you. Now it came about when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan, in the hill country and in the lowland, and on all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite and the Jebusite heard of it, that they gathered themselves together with one accord to fight with Joshua and with Israel. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they also acted craftily and set out as envoys and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins, worn out and torn and mended, and worn out and patched sandals on their feet and worn out clothes on themselves. And all the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbled. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us." And the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you are living within our land. How then shall we make a covenant with you?" But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." Then Joshua said to them, "Who are you and where do you come from?" And they said to him, "Your servants have come from a very far country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard the report of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take provisions in your hand for the journey, and go meet them and say to them, We are your servants. Now then, make a covenant with us. This our bread was warm when we took it for our provisions out of our houses on the day that we left to come to you. But now, behold, it is dry and has become crumbled. And these wineskins which we filled were new, and behold, they are torn. And these our clothes and our sandals are worn out because of the very long journey.' So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. And it came about at the end of 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were neighbors and that they were living within their land. Then the sons of Israel set out and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephirath and Beeroth and Kiriath-Jearim. And the sons of Israel did not strike them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. And the whole congregation grumbled against the leaders. But all the leaders said to the whole congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we cannot touch them. This we will do to them, even let them live, lest wrath be upon us for the oath which we swore to them." And the leaders said to them, "Let them live, So they became hewers of wood and drawers of water for the whole congregation, just as the leaders had spoken to them. Then Joshua called for them and spoke to them, saying, "Why have you deceived us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' when you are living within our land? Now therefore you are cursed, and you shall never cease being slaves, both hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." So they answered Joshua and said, "Because it was certainly told your servants that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. Therefore we feared greatly for our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now behold, we are in your hands. Do as it seems good and right in your sight to do to us." Thus he did to them and delivered them from the hands of the sons of Israel. And they did not kill them. But Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord to this day in the place which he would choose. Thus reads the word of God. You may be seated. Joshua 9:14. So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. In this morning's reading, we have the account of the inhabitants of Gibeon and how they outsmarted the leaders of Israel. It is a sad account of what takes place when the Lord is not sought in the every decision-making process. As is clearly stated in our passage, so the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. Rather than ask the Lord about this whole episode and what to do, those leaders took it upon themselves to make the decision. This ended up being the opposite of what they should have done. It also shows just how unreliable our plans and our thoughts and our ideas of reality are in the face of fulfilling the plan and the purposes of God. This is one of those accounts which should help to reinforce the fact that we need to seek God's counsel and His guidance in the every detail of our walk on this earth. So often, we have this idea that God is only there for those major issues of life. As a result, we think that it is our place to make the smaller, less important decisions on our own. We do so with our meager and limited concepts and feeble sense of reality. What the people saw in the case of those Gibeonites was not the truth of who they were and where they were from. The Israelites opened themselves up to the deception that was put upon them because they did not think it important enough to ask the Lord what to do with these travelers. If they had sought the Lord and His infinite omniscience, they would have had a completely different historical outcome. Seeking the Lord's wisdom certainly would have prevented some of the issues that were to later plague them when they continued their compromise as to what the Lord demanded and what they actually chose to do. They thought that they knew better than the Lord. They thought that they knew how to deal with these imposters. The nation of Israel would eventually learn the folly of that course of action. That is what we need to take away, at the very least, from this account. No matter how learned we may be, none of us human beings will ever know better than God what is going on in our lives. So many times, we are caught up in the very limited details of the issues as we see them, We do not realize that the Lord is working far beyond the meager scope of our finite understanding and our cursory vision. We can only see the moment while God sees eternity. Some of the seemingly least important decisions that we make can come back in the most unforeseen ways, serving to turn our lives all around in twisting, topsy-turvy curves. As but a single example, think about the manner in which we choose to spend our money. We might use it one way that meets our wants, while it might have served a far greater purpose if it had been saved against a rainy day, or if it had been used in a manner that gave aid to someone else. That is just one simple matter that is a daily part of the decision process. I often think back on the way and on the words with which I have dealt with someone who needed counsel. I earnestly ask the Lord to overrule anything that I might have said from my own ideas and my concepts and my human reasoning. When we are dealing with people, we need to understand that we are dealing with eternal beings. They will either be the recipients of the life of Christ, or they will eternally suffer the consequences of their rejection of the only begotten Son of God. The decisions that are made truly matter beyond the scope of our limited understanding. Accordingly, all our interactions with every person can never be considered as minor ones. We are to ask the Lord to work out in us the reality that we minister life or death in accordance with our responses to every person in our lives, both those long-term relationships as well as those fleeting encounters. The simplest interaction at a gas station could be a deciding factor in someone's mind as to the difference that Jesus makes in a person. If we are less than loving, it may reinforce their thoughts of the hypocrisy of Christianity gleaned from other encounters with those who call themselves Christians. We always need to ask the Lord to help us in our interactions, large and small. It must ever be with the view as to how we are to be constantly truer and purer witnesses of Jesus to everyone who is in our sphere of influence. It is also the reason that we need to be in that continual mode of prayer unto the Lord as we deal with others. We need to constantly beseech His ruling and overruling for His glory. This is a necessity, especially when we do blow it, and it brings displeasure to our Lord. Another expression of this need to ask for the Lord's direction and constant guidance comes into evidence in our immediate actions and interactions with loved ones. Those closest to us need to have the expressed love of God bountifully lavished upon them as we seek the Lord to guide our every word, our every action, our every reaction, and our every thought concerning our loved ones. Our homes, where we are most comfortable and most at ease, need to become the arena of our continual reliance upon God as to how to make every decision, large or small, complicated or simple. Let us look at a number of decisions that were and were not taken to the Lord by various individuals in Scripture. We do so with the hope that it will be reinforced in our hearts and especially in our minds that we need to go to the Lord constantly to seek His way in the path at each turn, each fork, each time of decision. He wants us to ask Him what we need to do so that He can bless our obedience and make the every provision for what lies ahead of us. There is no one who can help us more than the omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent Lord God Almighty, who holds eternity in His hands. We begin with Moses, as he sought the Lord about who would take over the leading of the children of Israel upon his death. He so loved the people, despite their obstinacy and hard-headedness and rejection of the Lord, oh, so many different times. He wanted the best choice, the Lord's choice, of the one who would care for this nation of God's people. That choice was Joshua, as we read in Numbers 27, 18 through 21. Please turn to Numbers 27, 18 through 21, so we can read the Lord's response to Moses. Please note how the Lord even made the provision for the priest to inquire of the Lord for the manner in which the decisions were to be made in order for Joshua's leading of the people. God was promising that He would make known through the priest the every choice that needed to be made. Numbers 27, 18 through 21. So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. And you shall put some of your authority on him, in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his command they shall go out, and it is at his command they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregation." Later, after the people had entered into the promised land, there came the time that Joshua died. He was one of the oldest of the people, since he and Caleb alone had survived from that first generation. In Judges 1:1-4, we see that the Israelites knew that they needed the guidance of the Lord in the decision of who would lead forth these tribes who were still in the process of the conquest. They wisely decided to ask the Lord concerning His choice, as is recorded in this passage. The Lord chose the tribe of Judah to lead forth in the continued conquest of the promised land. Judges 1:1-4. Now it came about after the death of Joshua that the sons of Israel inquired of the Lord, saying, Who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have given the land into his hand. Then Judah said to Simeon his brother, Come up with me into the territory allotted me, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I in turn will go with you into the territory allotted you. So Simeon went up with him, and Judah went up, and the Lord gave the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hands, and they defeated 10,000 men at Bezek. Another man, who is a testimony to us of seeking after the Lord for so many decisions of his life, is David. Admittedly, he was not perfect in this. None of us are. However, David did go to the Lord over and over again to ask the Lord as to the course and the direction that he should take. In that, we have much to learn from his example. We will consider a couple of times that are recorded in God's Word for this to be established in our lives. Please turn to 1 Samuel 23, 9 through 13. Here we find David being pursued by King Saul. David did not know where to turn, so he turned to the Lord and asked him for guidance and direction. 1 Samuel 23, 9 through 13. Now David knew that Saul was plotting evil against him. So he said to Abiathar the priest, Bring the ephod here. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as thy servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, He will come down. Then David said, Will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, They will surrender you. Then David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. When it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the pursuit. Then in 2 Samuel 2, 1 through 4, we have the coronation of David as king of Judah. This took place because David sought the Lord as to where he should go. Because of his obedience to the Lord, he was where he needed to be for the people of Judah to make him their king. Had he not sought the Lord, it is entirely possible that he would have missed this blessing at this moment in his life. 2 Samuel 2, 1 through 4. Then it came about afterwards that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to one of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, Go up. So David said, Where shall I go up? And he said, To Hebron. So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought up his men who were with him, each with his household, and they lived in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, It was the men of Jabesh Gilead who buried Saul. On the other hand, as an example of one who did not seek the counsel of the Lord, we have the consequences of the tragic consequences of King Saul's self-determination detailed in 1 Chronicles 10, 13 and 14. Saul lost all the blessing of the Lord when he chose not to seek and obey the Lord's counsel. He rather chose to seek after the ways of this world. 1 Chronicles 10:13 and 14. So Saul died for his trespass which he committed against the Lord because of the word of the Lord which he did not keep, and also because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. Returning to the examples of those who did seek after the Lord, we have the account of Ezra. When Ezra was leading the captives home from the exile, he faced the choice that we all have in our walk. He could either seek the protection of man or the protection of God on the long and treacherous journey. As we can read in Ezra 8:21-23, he and the people sought the Lord, and they were delivered back safely to the promised land. The Lord listened, and he responded to their entreaty. Ezra 8:21-23. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Havah, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because we had said to the king, "The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all who seek him, but his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him." So we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaty. Our next passage is a most familiar and a very beloved one that we often quote to ourselves and to others when we're in need of encouragement in our trust in the Lord. It is Proverbs 3:5-6. The key to it in this morning's discussion is that we are truly and honestly to seek after the Lord, to make this the course of our every decision. Not just those that are hard or difficult, but every decision from the moment that we wake in the morning until we close our eyes at night. We are to learn to abide in this living relationship of trust in the Lord. This is not something that we can say that we have learned once and then forget about it. It is the moment by moment course of our walk with the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. This matter of seeking the Lord and trusting in him is highlighted throughout the scriptures, as in Isaiah 30:1-2. Here the prophet Isaiah speaks the very words of the Lord to those who were seeking earthly rescue from the forces that were arrayed against them. The Lord made it very evident that the people of God need to look to God and to ask him for his plan and his purpose in our lives, rather than counting on the unreliable and self-serving plans of other people and other nations. Isaiah 30:1-2. "Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt." We conclude with that great encouragement of Brother James in James 1, 5 through 8. In this scripture, we have the direct command from God to seek Him in all our times of decision making. We have the very wisdom of God open to us through the abiding Holy Spirit and His living Word. Why would we think that we could do better than that in our own course of limited and unreliable and foolish human judgment and ideas? We simply need to ask the Lord for the course of His plans for our lives. We need to turn to Him and to obey Him for the direction in which we should walk as is pleasing to our Lord. He will always, always respond in truth through the wisdom that has created all that we are and all that we ever will be. James 1, 5 through 8. "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Lord willing, we have found that there is an infinite wealth of knowledge in the Lord to meet the every time of our quandary and need of decision. He is there for us at all times. He is always able, and He is desirous to guide us in the course that will forever be the best and most perfect one. His way will always be for our blessing as His good purposes are fulfilled in us to His glory alone. So be it. So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. Amen.